My name is Sarah Goffredson, and this is The Role of Bacterial Genotype in Persistence of the Microbiota of Drosophila melanogaster. And persistence is essentially just how long a microbe sticks around in its host, in this case Drosophila melanogaster, the common fruit fly. And so the question we're really asking is there a bacterial gene or bacterial genes that influence the persistence of the bacteria? And so one of the biggest reasons we did this is because you can see in the top left under the Y is that someone else in our lab did an experiment where they tested the effect of the microbiome on lifespan. And while they were doing this, they also tested essentially how much bacteria was in the fruit fly throughout its entire life. And you can see in this graph that they had of this that the like in the red sections, the bacteria stuck around a lot longer, almost the whole life of the fruit fly, so from anywhere from 50 to 70 days. And you can see that, like the blue, they stuck around a lot less longer than the red did. And the red is Acetobacter, and the blues are Lactobacillus, which are some of the very common bacterial types in the Drosophila microbiome. And so it was, well, why is this happening? The persistence in literature right now, basically, it just says that the replenishment of the microbiome is done through continual uptake of food. So it's through the diet, and most papers attribute the microbiome almost 100% to the diet. But we were trying to wonder if there is the bacterial influence in it as well, instead of just a diet influence. So how we did this is we had a lab stock of flies, and we took their eggs and bleached them and decorionated them, because the chorion layer is the only layer that holds bacteria. So we essentially just sterilized them and then put them onto sterile food. And after we did this, they have no bacteria, so we could then inoculate them with one specific type of bacteria. And after they grew up and eclosed or hatched, we really wanted to remove this factor of the diet. So what we did was we put these flies into individual wells of a well plate, so that also they wouldn't be influenced by the microbiome of other flies. And we moved them onto new food. They transferred them onto new sterile food 3 times a day for 2 days. And so that way they weren't eating much, and they weren't getting that that reuptake of the microbiome through their food. And so if you go to the next row, in persisters and non-persisters, of course the very first thing we did when we test this is there actually a difference in persistence between the different bacterial types, or is it just a coincidence in that first experiment that was done? And so we just tested a handful, and we found that yes, there is a significant difference, and it tends to the lactobacillus tend to confer lower persistence, and the acetobacters tend to have higher persistence, so they last longer. So after this, we then took about 40 different strains of bacteria. And you see this in persistence by treatment. We took a wide variety. So acetobacters that came from originally from lab flies, wild flies, or not flies at all. And then we did the same thing with lactobacillus. And we also did some firmicutes and some gamma proteobacteria. And you can see after the end of the whole experiment how many CFUs per fly actually remained. And you can see that there are general trends with the acetobacters preferring having a longer persistence than the lactobacillus, and the wild flies tending to also have a higher persistence, the bacteria from wild flies rather. And so but it was good that we had variation within the individual categories, because after this we did a metagenome-wide association and picked out what genes were significant. And we had a huge long list, and we picked them out based on based on their pathways that we have been sort of found interesting in the literature, and also the mutants that we had in a mutant library. So we have a mutant library of Acetobacter fabarum, and we took 55 of these significant genes and tested them in the same manner. So to find out if these genes actually have an effect on persistence. And we did that once through and got an even smaller set of closer to 40 genes that we thought were the core group of significant genes. So then we tested that again and found the genes that we believe are truly significant in the persistence. And you can see down at the bottom, under mutants, the mutants we tested urea carboxylase mutants, phosphatidyl inositol, bacterial secretion, nicotinic acid, AMP resistance, and flagellar mutants. And flagellar is obviously the biggest category. That's where we found most of our significant genes. And you can see the little asterisks above the bars are the ones that were significant. So flagellar has a higher amount of significant genes. So you can see that under significant genes, urea carboxylase, phosphatidyl inositol, bacterial secretion, and AMP resistance each had one significant gene, and they're interesting and definitely have to be looked more into. But our main focus was really the flagellar genes. You can see these four genes here that were significantly related to the persistence. And you can see in this little model of flagella what is really where the significance lies. And so the interesting thing is the FLGE, which is the hook, is we didn't expect it to be significant because we expected mostly like the motor proteins to be significant, but has been found in mice and in humans to actually help play a role in immunity. So it's possible that this hook could be helping the immunity of the fly. And then the FLGH and FLIF mostly have to do with motility. And the FLII is type 3 secretion. So exactly what's going on here, it still has to be looked into a little bit further, and a few extra tests are going to be done, like motility tests. But it seems that the data show that the flagella is really significant in the persistence of the microbiome in a fly. Essentially that if they do have these flagellar genes, or even just have flagella at all, that they are able to persist and possibly outcompete other bacteria, which will be another further study we'll do. And so this helps us to, when we're using bacterial treatments, and just bacterial inoculations, figuring out the best ways to keep these bacteria around in the host. And so that's really the importance, and that's my poster.